rather than simply being paralyzed by that tragedy, you saw these young people create a system for making sure to get food and support and medicine to those in the most fragile, hard-to-reach parts of Sudan. And it wasn't just going through the traditional humanitarian NGOs, though they have a very important role to play. It was based on people who understood the specifics of their country and their communities and what was needed. So creating cash apps and localized kitchens and other efforts. And it really just saved countless lives. And when later in the conflict, more and more barriers arose, no telecom, fewer and fewer commodities, rather than again move into a mode of paralysis, it was creativity and it was courage. What is the new way we can think about doing this? We want to see more international support to this, more attention on it, and that's why we appreciate you drawing attention to it today.
The situation in Sudan is, complicated by lack of access for most people who would like to intervene. How is that impacting on the efforts to reach out to these emergency response rooms?
It's just all the more reason why the mutual aid efforts and emergency response rooms are so important. Is unfortunately in Sudan for many decades, we've seen the same playbook where armed groups will use starvation as a weapon of war. They will use the shutting down of either borders or lines within the war, whether that's to subject people to horrific rents, threats, sexual slavery, other abuses. And this is an effort to really think more creatively using current technology about how we might do that differently. Now, it's true, it's hard to scale up the level of support needed to reach millions and millions of people. And so the international NGOs still have a very important role to play. We still need to see the military open up the borders to food and medicine and the RSF guarantee safe access. But even in the midst of that, we've seen these amazing, inspiring efforts really make a difference.
Let's talk about the Paris Donor Conference that was held, and there were lots of pledges. Did that really meet the expectations of the people of Sudan?
So there's good news and bad news. I mean, the good news is we substantially increased the pledges. The bad news is it started at such a pitifully low level that even those increases are needing to materialize more quickly. We are starting to see a difference in terms of food and medicine on the front lines of this conflict. We've been very clear that that needs to be actively forward deployed, whether that's into warehouses in Port Sudan or in Chad and other areas. Of course, we also have many refugees in parts of South Sudan and Kenya, Uganda, Egypt, where we've been able to get some increased support. So it is part of it, but that really needs to be the beginning, not the end of the conversation of making sure those pledges become more food and medicine and that they can reach the hardest hit areas. And again, part of that is where these non-traditional innovations can be part of that solution.
Let's look at the traditional, toolbox of diplomacy. U.S. has been on record for dangling carrots and sticks. And of late, there were lots of sanctions slapped on both sides in the conflict in Sudan. How will that impact the move to really reach out those who are trapped inside South Sudan? I mean, inside Sudan, rather.
Well, we think it has been helpful, but it is not sufficient. I think we do know that sanctions have probably deterred some of the more aggressive attacks on al-Fashir and some of the atrocities and hate speech that we see. But obviously, we are nowhere close to conditions in Sudan that we would consider acceptable. We're seeing the horrific attacks on particularly women and children. We've seen the ethnic cleansing of the Mas elite. We continue to see starvation and other horrific conditions. So we are far, far from where we need to be. We need more countries to join us in those sanctions. But really, at the end of the day, we have to remember this was a man-made crisis. This is not a famine that was caused by a drought. It's not a famine that was caused by a disease that hit crops or by a terrible storm. This was an entirely man-made famine because of the decision of the SAF and RSF to go to war, because of the decision of the RSF to burn crops and loot warehouses, and now of SAF to limit humanitarian access when people are starving. So we need much more to be done. The sanctions will be part of it, and we will continue to increase the costs on those actors inside and outside of Sudan who are fueling this conflict. But ultimately, we want is for people to come to the peace table. We believe that table is set in Jeddah. We are looking for the commitments, particularly from SAF, to allow that to go forward, to answer any outstanding questions that are there, because we believe this is the path forward to peace. And that is really what we hear most often from the Sudanese people, is a need to silence the guns and ensure access to food and medicine.